This is Grafted Together with ACSI Chief Ministry Officer, Jerry Nelson.
Well, there's a great deal of fervency around the starting of schools here in the United States, especially as more states are coming online with state voucher programs and the ability for the money to follow the students. And I believe this gives rise to an opportunity for us to rethink about the type of education that we are providing for our students. In the past, it was, I would call this classical based style education, where kids were have your traditional history, English, and sciences. But I'm beginning to wonder whether we need to provide an education that really equips all students and puts them on a pathway that's aligned with how God has created them. This is Jerry Nelson, and welcome to Grafted Together. Well, my guest today is Alice Metalcoop, who started working as a teacher in an IT company, but switched to vocational education, teaching mostly IT and English. Her role includes examiner and curriculum developer, and she is currently the coordinator of Hornbeck Knowledge Center. Hornbeck Knowledge Center encourages knowledge sharing and professional development of teachers and does practical research into the religious identity development of vocational students. Alice also teaches at DreStar Applied University as a teacher trainer for second career teachers of vocational education. Plus, she has also begun research into the professional identity development of VET, second career teachers during their teacher training trajectory. Alice holds a BA in English, an MA in general linguistics, and TESOL. Alice and her husband, Hank, have three children between 14 and 21 years old. Well, welcome, Alice, to the podcast.
Yes, thank you, Jerry, for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, you know, I had an opportunity to sit in on your presentation just a few months ago in Budapest, where you talked about this whole idea of vocational students. And the one thing that really stuck out to me was this idea of making a route for each student for lifelong learning. And I have been personally passionate about this whole idea of helping our students, or anyone I come into contact with, really understand how God has uniquely gifted them, how God has uniquely crafted them, and really help to draw out the unique calling that God has on their life. And so when I sat in on your presentation, you began with what I clearly understood was a biblical worldview of vocation. I was immediately hooked. And so can you help us unpack this whole idea of a biblical worldview of vocation?
Yes, thank you for asking me to explain this about vocational education. As I'm a vocational teacher and now a teacher trainer, for several years, I've been thinking about this idea of training students in their vocation as a calling. Mm-hmm. And if we think about vocation as another word of calling, we all know that Christians believe that we all have a calling to serve God. That's our first calling. And our next calling is to serve others. But if you listen to the word vocation, it's also about the vocation God calls us to answer in our lives, to do our tasks, which can be a job, of course. And so I think vocation is a very general perspective on the things we do in life as answering to God's call.
Yeah, I mean, that's wonderful. And, you know, I one of the quotes that I remember from the presentation, I actually have it right in front of me, or one of the questions you posed was this whole idea of the vocational paradox, right? Called to live in relationship with God and others. Can you unpack the whole idea of the vocational paradox?
Yes, the vocational paradox was a bit more about the society perspective on vocations, mm-hmm. and that we make sort of distinction between this vocation is more valuable than that vocation. And if you do this type of education, it's more valuable than that education. And so we make a sort of a gradual system of sort of stairs in which you can have a sort of hierarchy, which you can enter as a child, and some children are more smart and enter another type of education. But actually, I think if we look at our society, and this is a very big discussion nowadays in Holland, because they say, if we look around and see all the things we need from day to day, from hour to hour, these are all the things made by students who did a vocational track at a very young age. They made our cars, they build our houses, they make sure that we have got energy and these kind of things, and we cannot do without it. So why do we rank them as the lowest in society as we need them the most? So that's the paradox, I think.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, Christian educators in particular have a unique opportunity of, you know, as Paul outlines in 1 Corinthians in particular, that, you know, that I can't say to the foot, I'm better than you. And so when we think about trade education, we think about education in general, we have an opportunity to actually correct this idea of somehow trade education is less than other educational opportunities. Can you talk a little bit about just the power of trade education? I mean, you touched on it a little bit as it relates to, you know, the kids who have these, who go through the trades. They are a part of making society function just as everyone else. But talk a little bit more in detail about the power of a trade-based education as you understand it and observe.
Yes, I think you mentioned this part of Corinthians about the hand and the feet. And actually, we often use that as a metaphor for vocational education. Like, okay, you've got these intellectual people, these are the heads, okay? But without these hands and feet, where do they stay? You know, you cannot really come somewhere without those feet. So that's from a Christian perspective. If you look at from a more economical perspective, as we also do in Holland, is well, they actually guarantee maybe, well, I don't know exact numbers, but about 40 or 50% of the economy. So this trade-based education prepares those students for jobs in society, which cover a very large part of all these economical activities which are going on. So without these students, it will be a real, real problem. And they even say that, well, this is a very economical view, of course, of students, which is totally different from the Christian perspective. But if you put like a 10,000 euros in a vocational student, it comes out with at least 20,000 euros in value for society. Uh-huh. Whereas if you have a student of, well, mention something like, he's studying something at university, it costs a huge amount of money, and sometimes it doesn't really return to society in that amount. So that's something of which is very economical, but it's valued in society.
Yeah, you know, and you know, another parable that comes to mind is the one of the bags of gold, just which is a parable about stewardship. And so, you know, when I look at the scope of our educational endeavors, just from the economical standpoint, and the parable of the bags of gold or the talents, depending on your version of scripture, it is one about economics. It's one about taking the resources that you have and using those resources effectively. And this is what really intrigues me so much about the importance and the opportunity. And I know you're doing this in Holland, but I'm thinking about just what's taking place here in the States and seeing if we can actually glean from the success that is taking place in Holland, in particular with the Dutch system, and transferring those particular principles to here in the States, if we as Christians can be better stewards of what God has given us, which are those students in the classroom. And I actually think that there's a significant opportunity if there is more investment, right? I mean, just the statistics that you gave alone, right? If you invest 10,000 euros, the output is double, you know, that the student versus something else. I think just the economic side alone, and again, as you said, it's not just the economic side of things that Christians should be concerned about, but from the totality of a stewardship standpoint, I think it's absolutely worth the investment. And, you know, those principles are 100% transferable.
Yes. And also that's what I also pointed out in this presentation is that Jesus also learned a trade from his father because he was a carpenter. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, he also had a trade being a tent maker. Yeah. And so I think it's very biblical that that where they don't make a distinction between hands and heads, what people do and what kind of job they have. We shouldn't do that in Christian education. We should be a unity and act as a school in that perspective, that we have these different type of students together to learn to live together, to be a society, and not separate them in different strands and streams and live in their own bubble, so to say.
Yeah, it's a unified vision of how the body of Christ should and can work together by acknowledging the different giftedness yes. You know, within the students. And I want to kind of pivot, you know, to the Dutch system. I'm so intrigued. And I've been in Christian education now for, I can say, 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And I actually came in contact through a book that I read some time ago about, I don't remember the exact title, but it had to do with educational entrepreneurship and the idea that in some cases, especially around the world, and it was doing a case study on different educational systems around the world and looking at ways that we can employ the best practices from these well-to-do educational systems into the American or the U.S. system in particular. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. of course, the Dutch system came up because of its importance and the emphasis it's placed on trade, education. And again, recognizing that there are different dynamics that are at play mm-hmm. within the Dutch system in Europe in general versus the U.S. But I do see a lot of parallels in terms of now in the U.S., the money is beginning to follow the student or the parent, and they can make choices on where they want to receive their education. And so we have a lot of private education that's coming online, and this is good. And mm-hmm. and it's opening up an opportunity for, as I said at the beginning, for trade education to come online. But let's pivot to the Dutch system. Can you talk a little bit about just the structure of the Dutch system and just some of the principles that actually make it work for you and Holland?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think it's very nice development in America that the money follows the child and that you have some options as a parent to choose how to actually educate your child. In Holland, the money goes to the schools, but you can also have a private school being funded by the government. So mm-hmm. the schools have quite some options how to actually form this education. Apart from that, there is a system which is partly vocational and partly academic. Mm-hmm. And this vocational track is starting already when the kid is 13 years old. Mm-hmm. So then it can already choose a vocational track if it wants to. Mm-hmm. And it's developed over to 16 years old. And after 16 years old, we've got quite a differentiated vocational structure, which is a combination of questions of institutions and businesses and the government. So the business and the institutions and whatever sector it is have a 50% say in the education of vocational education, which made it very strong because it really answers the question from the companies, like, we would like to have people who can do this and that and that. And so can you build up your education, answer these questions? Of course, it's not always a one-to-one match, but it matches all over quite fairly. So this means that those students, which is about 40% of the Dutch students, and even sometimes 50, so that's a very large part of our students, go to this vocation education from 16 years old, and they are there between 18 or 19 or 20. It really depends, because we've got a differentiated system. When it's too difficult for them, they start with a 2 years program. If they finish that, they can go to the next program, which is an extra year. And they also can do an extra year after that. And so this is what you mentioned at the start of the podcast about the lifelong learning. And so if something is difficult for you, there is also always an entry level at which you can start. And then you can actually gradually, with the next year and the next year, continue if you want to. Of course, you don't have to, but you're it's possible.
You know, and I want to pause and really kind of highlight this particular point, and maybe you can speak to it a little bit. What I'm hearing is that if students get to a level that's difficult, a lot of times here in the States, what kids typically do is they drop out. But it seems like you have somewhat of a safety net already in place that says, if this particular place or this particular level gets too difficult, we can reroute you to something else. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. Well, that's the other way around of the reasoning. If you can start at a lower level and increase the level. Mm-hmm. But if you start at a level which is too high for you, you can go back and go to a lower level. And before that, maybe it's good for the American listeners that we have got three types of secondary education. And we've got the basic education, which is 4 years for 13 to 16 years old. And those students mainly stop after 16 years and go to vocational education.
Okay.
If you're really prepared for academic education, you can go on for 1 or 2 years. But those students don't have to go on and on till 16 or 18 years old in this academic track. They can already go to this vocational track, which is, I think, a real blessing for most of the students.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, they can also choose whether they do that for 1 day a week or for 5 days a week. And these are really equivalent. So if they are, you know, these doers, which really like to work with their hands, and we've got a lot of them, we don't like to go to school for 5 days. They can choose for a track which is 1 day at school and 4 days in a company or institution or organization, you know, depending on whether they do economics or something with raising kids in a daycare or whatever. And they go to this company for 4 days a week. And this company guides the students with the activities they have to do for the education. And so after 3 years, they got the same diploma, whether they go to for 1 day to school or 5 days to school.
Wow.
And a very good message for every school who wants to start with vocational education is this system is very easy to start. I don't know whether you have some laws which regulate this. Probably yes. But, you know, you have to have these students in the schools for 1 day a week. And you have to organize that the tasks they need to learn are covered in some assignments or whatever tasks you give them, and reach a certain level that you say, okay, for this diploma, you have to do this task at this certain level on your own or whatever. And then it's fine. And it's quite easy to organize. So that's my advice for other countries to start with vocational education.
This is really good. And I want to go back and clarify something that I think I just really want to draw out. And I know this we had this conversation in some previous, in our previous interactions, where you can have students who go through the entire vocational track. Mm-hmm. And it still prepares them to go to university, correct? Like if they go through, because I remember we talked about the different levels that exist. Can you talk a little bit about that? It's not, if you go through the vocational track, you can't go to university. That's not the case. You actually can still go to university, even if you go through the vocational track. Talk a little bit about that.
Yes. If you see the picture, for those of you who see the picture, you can actually see these dark blue educational types, which is all vocation. And you can see that they're built on and on and on different NLQF levels, as you can see that. So you can start at this very low level already as a 13-year-old kid, You choose a vocational track when you're 16. And when you're at the level of 18 years old, you can say, okay, I choose for another vocational track, which is at NLQF 6 level. Mm-hmm. We call that a bachelor. I think you also call that a bachelor program. Mm-hmm. We make some distinction between an applied university and an academic university. Okay. I don't know whether you make this distinction, but we do make this distinction where the applied university is more vocational.
Gotcha.
And reaches up to level 6. After that, these professional tracks at NLQF 7, these are less vocational. These are more academic mostly, which is, of course, ending up in a PhD. But it's still open. The route is open. And the people are really encouraged, like, not really immediately after they are 18 years old. But, you know, once they are 30 and thinking about some other educational type and switching in a career, and then we say, okay, you're most welcome to do these part-time studies, to continue your studies, which is very helpful for people switching in a career later on.
Yeah, that's really good. And what I'm really intrigued about is just really the thought that has gone into this and paying attention to providing a pathway for all students to succeed, but also recognizing, as you just said, that students may decide to change careers or change a particular mm-hmm. pathway, or there actually might be things that come up in life that may make it difficult for a student to continue, but they don't have to get off the learning track. They can still continue along a pathway that's really applicable to where they are in that season of life. I mean, this is really intriguing. And, you know, as we close out our time together, can you talk a little bit about just the overall impact that the trade education has had in Holland? I remember in our previous conversation, you said something like there's, if I have the statistic correct, there's over 250 tracks. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, these are sometimes minor variations, to be honest. But at our school, our Christian school, it's about 7,000 students. Mm. We've got 90 trajectories for students.
Oh.
And so they are circling around health education. They are circling around economic education. They are circling around welfare, technical education. And within this field, we've got all these differences between a building and something with mechanics, something with automotive, something with, you know, all these different tracks. And the students can and choose all these options. Mm-hmm. And I think it's wonderful because you've got this influence from the market on the education mm-hmm. to build this education as a responsive type of education to mm-hmm. the needs of the companies, for example. Like, we really want to have students who can build these houses with this isolation. I don't know what, I'm not in the building sector, but you can imagine that something, you know, it's something it's renewing in this building sector. Absolutely. And you want to have that into your education. And because of these conversations, we do have all these specific tracks and we offer that to our schools as well. Yes.
You know, the word that you just mentioned that's really intriguing, and I think that just really is at the heart of Christian education. It's really the story of scripture. It's this whole idea mm-hmm. of renewal, right? And this is a truly, and that's what really intrigues me about the trade education. It's an opportunity to build community, mm-hmm. to pull in all the different parts for, and as you explained it, for kids who God has gifted very differently than how we've traditionally mm-hmm. thought about education, for them to see themselves as equally valuable within the kingdom of God, but for that opportunity for there to be genuine community renewal, working with your hands, using the resources that are within that community, whether human resources, capital resources, to bring healing, to help improve the local economy. It is so Christian.
I think so, yes. And I quoted something from Luther in my presentation as well, that he says, If we think about ourselves and our position as work, it's something which is sacred and it's well pleasing to God. And that's not because of the account of the position we have, but it's the account of the word of faith in the obedience of the work we do. So then it doesn't really matter what kind of job we do or kind of work, but it's in the obedience and the faith we have.
Amen. Amen. Well, Alice, I definitely appreciate it. I know we only scratched the surface of this particular topic. But I'd love to continue this conversation with you later on and maybe even do a part two of this, because I think we need to go deeper. I really think there is an opportunity for many of us here in the United States to really learn and actually adapt the principles that are at work within the Dutch system to us here in the States. And I really believe it can bring a sense of renewal, community renewal, and empower our students to greater service in the Lord. So thank you, Alice. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. And maybe just a tiny reminder, we do have a vocational conference in Holland, the 14th and 15th of November. So you're most welcome to visit the Netherlands and see our vocational system. I have some very nice and deep conversations about it.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I appreciate the invitation, and I extend that invitation to our listeners as well.
Yes,
well, God
thank
bless.
You.
Thanks again. Really appreciate it. And again, this is Jerry Nelson with Grafted Together. See you next time.
Grafted Together is a presentation of the Association of Christian Schools International. Learn more about biblical worldview and spiritual formation at acsi.org/graftedtogether.